Well, this Advent season, we've had the joy of working in the book of Isaiah. We started in Isaiah chapter 9, and we heard the good news that a son's going to be born. We moved into Isaiah chapter 11, and we heard that a branch was going to sprout up from the stump of Jesse. We moved into Isaiah chapter 12, and we heard that the Lord was going to raise up a banner and gather the nations to him. We've been Isaiah 32, this king who's going to come and recreate his people so that they can hear and see. And tonight we're going to look at a capstone text in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55. If you have a Bible with you, you can turn there. I'm going to read Isaiah 55, starting in verse 1. Hear the word of our God. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Would you pray with me? Father, we are gathered here tonight with glad hearts as we consider your grace in Jesus to us. We are indeed a people rich, for you have given us your Son, and we ask now as we look into Isaiah 55 that you would indeed incline us to your word and to your invitation of grace. For those of us who have appetites, Father, we ask that you would increase our appetite for your grace in Jesus. And for those of us here tonight who have no appetite for grace, Father, we pray that you would do a great miracle and you would create new appetites for your Son. Father, we anticipate that you will do much for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been looking into the book of Isaiah this past month in December, we've seen that God's grace comes to us in Jesus in often unexpected and unsettling ways. We've seen it in Isaiah 9 and 11 and 12 and chapter 32 and in chapter 55 in this great capstone text. We see that fact as well. God's grace comes to us often in unexpected and unsettling ways. Let me try to describe it. God's grace isn't like a quiet guest that comes in discreetly without notice. Rather, God's grace comes and beckons and calls, it shouts and yells, it bangs on the door making a racket, and it does so until it has our attention. It comes to us. We hear it in Isaiah 55. Come, it calls. Listen diligently, it preaches. Seek, it commands. Behold, it shouts. God's grace isn't all that polite. It's not all that well-mannered. It doesn't sidestep the awkward, nor does it tiptoe around the uncomfortable, all the things we would rather leave unsaid. God's grace is rather perfectly honest. It is candid. It says, you look rather thirsty tonight. It comes to us and it says, it looks like you haven't had a good meal in a while. Venturing even further, making people often very uncomfortable, God's grace says, you look rather miserable. You look unsatisfied. God's grace isn't mousy. It is quite comfortable taking center stage, telling us exactly what we must do with ourselves. It is happy to stand up and call the shots and make all sorts of demands. It, by its very nature, gets right into our business, right into our face. It says, stop living that way. It calls out, stop thinking that way. It goes on, turn around and return, go back. God's grace isn't modest. There is no self-deprecation with God's grace. There is no blushing or red cheeks. God's grace is rich and altogether good. It is beautiful and more precious than gold, even fine gold. With joy, it holds itself forth. It doesn't mind saying, I am all you will ever need. It doesn't mind boasting, I am your only satisfaction. I am your health, all of it. I am your salvation. And I alone. Tonight we hear God speaking to us in his grace. He makes this call. He says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And we have good news because God's grace has appeared to us. And when we speak about God's grace, we're not speaking about some substance or some invisible magical force. We're talking about God's kind disposition. We're talking about his favor, his propensity to give undeserved gifts away. And tonight, ultimately, we're speaking about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're speaking about him and all that he has done. We're speaking about his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection. And tonight, we can sharpen Isaiah's call from chapter 55. We can sharpen it like this. Come to Jesus. Drink of Jesus. If you don't have money, don't let that hold you back yet. Come. Come to the Messiah. Come and have him without money and without price. You can have him, all of him. Come and have the good that is Jesus. Come, delight yourself in him. Listen to what he has to say. Obey him so that your soul may live, really live like it's never lived before. And it is this word about Jesus that beckons and calls to us. It is this word about Jesus that is candid and honest. It is this word about Jesus that shows up and starts making demands and telling us what we need to do with ourselves. It is this word about Jesus that makes its glad boast. It holds forth Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. It is this word about Jesus that we must receive and continue to receive over and over and over again. And towards that end, the receiving of Jesus, I want to motivate you tonight. I want you to receive Jesus. Maybe you've never received Jesus before. I want to motivate you to turn your heart to him. And if you've tasted Jesus before, I want to motivate you to go to Jesus yet one more time. And I want to go to Isaiah 55, and I want to draw out three reasons you should go and taste God's grace in Jesus tonight. So the first reason I have for you is this. You should taste God's grace because God desires to gather you. God desires to gather you. The fruit of sin is dispersion. You just comb through your Bible and you see all of these sad stories recorded in redemptive history. There is Adam and Eve who were forced out of the garden, never able to return there again. There is Cain who murders his brother and is forced to wander on the face of the earth. There are the people of Babel who have to go out in confusion in every direction. There is Israel after much sin is forced out of the land of promise. And we taste this rotten fruit every day, often very personally. Sin still separates. I mean, you think about it. Sin separates and divides families and marriages. Husbands and wives split up. Sons end up hating fathers and daughters dismiss their mothers, and it goes vice versa as well. But we meet God's grace in Isaiah 55. Listen to what Isaiah has to say, these happy words in verses 4 and 5. Isaiah says, "Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you did not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you." And we ask, well, who is that leader? Who is that commander that God has set up? Who is this witness that is going forth and making proclamation to the nations with the purpose of gathering people that he didn't even know? Well, that answer is easy tonight. It is the Lord Jesus himself. What has God done? God commissioned his son to regather his people, and not just his people, but the whole world to God. Nations and people who were foreign to Israel, who did not know God or his law or his ways or will or had never heard about him. God has set up his son to be this witness to gather the nations back to him. And as you look at verses 4 and 5, and as you hear Isaiah's happy words, do you see God's desire? It is this, it is to write the story anew. In his grace, he comes to end the wandering and the division and the alienation. He comes to undo the exile of Adam and the wandering of Cain and the confusion of Babel and the ejection of Israel. He comes to gather all people under the reign of his precious King, King Jesus. And so are you tired of wandering? Are you weary of alienation and separation? Do you want to return to God, the one who made you? Do you want to return to the people in your life and have communion with them and sweet fellowship? Well, what is God doing tonight? He is making his call with his word of grace. He's inviting you into this gathering. He says to you tonight, come and listen and seek and return. Why should you take hold of God's grace tonight and taste it? Because God desires to gather you anew. And there's a second reason that we should take hold of God's grace. Going a little bit deeper into God's desires, God desires to forgive you. He desires to forgive you. And so God is gathering people to himself. And as we think about it, there is a catch with that. We will never return to God unless we are deeply persuaded that God will have us back. And as we think about it, it is no small thing to make a return to God. Remember those sad biblical stories that I just mentioned to you. It was God, as we think about the story of Adam and Eve, who sent Adam and Eve out of the garden, and he placed an angel there with a sword that turned every which way to guard that way back into the garden and the tree of life. Or you think about Cain. It was God who put a mark on him and sent him away. Or you think about Babel. It was God who confounded and confused these people. It was God who came down and dispersed them. Or you think about Israel and their continual sin in the land of promise. It was God who ejected them out of the land of promise. God faithfully judges sin, and he's on record for doing so. He does so again and again and again. But here in Isaiah 55, we find this surprising good word. Here is the Lord speaking. He says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Do you hear that word? On return, God is promising this compassion. He is promising this: I will not deal with you as you deserve to be dealt with. I will not pay you back for all that you have done wrong against me. God is saying, if you return to me and make your way back to me, you will find mercy and goodness without end in me. Even more, if you return to me, you will find abundant pardon. I'm not going to just forgive a few of your sins. I'm just not going to forgive some of the easy ones and look over them. I'm going to forgive all of them. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to hold nothing back. Abundant pardon. And we ask, as we hear that call from God, well, where's the catch in all of this? And we're wired to see the catch in all of this. I mean, consider yourself. We don't deal with others like this. When we are owed a debt, what do we desire? We owe repayment. And we just don't want repayment. We want repayment with interest added on top to it. I want to make some money off of this. When we are wronged, we crave justice. The wrong must be righted. The guilty must be punished. Or consider yourself, when you really screw something up, you know you've screwed it up. Before you can move on, how much do you have to punish yourself? How much recrimination must you put yourself through before you're ready to move on? And the doubts are there. Will God actually pardon me if I return to him? Will he actually show compassion to me if I return to him? That's not how we deal with each other. That's not how I deal with myself. And here God stands up and he makes his protest. In verses 8 and 9, he says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." You have to love what God says. He's coming to us and he's protesting. He's saying, "I'm not like you. And that's my glory. There is no stinginess within me. I delight in the release of debts. I have no reluctance to cover up your sins and to put away your filth and your stains. It is my joy to blot out all of your wrong. I love to forgive. I love to absolve and clear. That is who I am, and that is my joy and glory." So here is the Lord, and what does he do? He beckons to us. He beckons to us that we might come to him and experience his grace. He says, "Come, listen, return, seek, for I desire to forgive you all that you've done wrong." And so that's the second reason I have for you. God desires to forgive us. It's true. I have one last reason to set before you. God desires to covenant with you. And we're going to the deepest level here. God desires to gather, forgive, and here we're at the very bottom, the most important thing. All of the commands that come forth in Isaiah 55, we're hearing them: come, listen, seek, return. All of the actions of God, the gathering, the forgiving, all aim at this great end, that God might covenant with the people. What does that mean? It means this: God desires to have you, to have all of you. And he desires that you would have him, all of him. God holds out to you in his grace a bond of communion. Or to put it another way, he's holding out to you a marriage covenant that you might forsake all others and be joined wholly to him, and so enjoy all of him in this marriage covenant. And that he might come to you in his grace, and that he might lavish on you all that he has in his joy. Listen to the Lord here, verse 3. "Incline your ear and come to me. here that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. And here we've hit the bottom, for this is the great gospel incentive. When we receive Jesus and all his benefits, what do we find? We find ourselves in union with God himself. When we lay claim to Jesus in faith, we find ourselves in communion with his Father, God over all. It is a glorious thing. And so God makes his call, and hear this. God says, incline your ear and come to me. God's desire is this, that you would come to him and so have him, and that he might have you. And so tonight, in Isaiah 55, God makes his call. Hear it. He says, come, listen, return, seek. And I urge you this Christmas Eve night, and as you go into tomorrow rejoicing with your families, I urge you, receive God's grace in Jesus. I urge you, use his grace, comply with his grace, obey his grace, receive his grace. For if you receive his grace, you will find yourself gathered back to God. You will find yourself forgiven. And best of all, if you receive God's grace in Jesus, you will find yourself in communion with God himself. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are thankful for Isaiah 55. We are thankful for clear gospel calls. We need them. And so would you rouse us from our sloth, wake us up even tonight that we might make our way to Jesus and taste his grace. Oh, Father, turn to us and be kind to us. We need your grace even now, even tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.